I was here a long, long time ago. What I mean, long, long time is that when the church was being renovated into a church, it was a warehouse before, right? And I thank God for the opportunity to serve with you guys for a long time. I used to serve as the executive director of CCACA, the Canadian Chinese Aligned Churches Association. And that's why I've known your pastor in the past, actually quite a few senior pastors in the past. And now I'm with COE Canada. Thank you for the introduction. COE Canada, Chinese Coordination Center of World Evangelism. We are meant to mobilize Chinese churches around the world to fulfill the Great Commission. For me, I serve in Canada. That's why it's COE Canada. But in Canada, there's more than 500 churches and Christian organizations and also seminaries. So I have to coordinate and connect with all these entities so to mobilize Christians together to fulfill the Great Commission. I will be attending the Lausanne Conference in September. So I'll be heading out in Asia. And on my way out there, I will visit Japan, Fukuoka, where we planted a church over there, Alliance Church though, 15 years ago. So I'm delighted to be back here to spend the morning with you. And let's look at Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24, serving with all your heart. One of the main objectives of COE Canada is to mobilize churches and Christians. But what I mean is that we want to bring them into the attention of missional discipleship at workplace. Workplace is so important. We'll all be talking about missions, overseas missions. Yes, this is good. Now, you need good disciples in order you can be sent overseas, right? To serve as a missionary. Most of the time, we'll be a pastor, a couple, being sent overseas. But before you are a disciple of Christ, you would have to perform so-called witnessing well in your workplace. So today I want to talk to you about serving with all your heart. And the big idea is simple. When done wholeheartedly and as unto the Lord, our work reflects our faith and dedication to God and results in eternal rewards. And we read this just in this passage. And it's so significant today that we got to look at the workplace as a sacred place that you're meeting Christ every day at your workplace. So today when we talk about serving with all our hearts, we want to look into the scenario. How are we doing that? How can we achieve such things? So imagine for a moment, you're at a crossroads in your career. We all have a career, right? You have two paths before you. One promises financial plan, financial gain, but leave you empty. And the other aligns you with your passions and values, but seems uncertain. Have you faced those before? Many of us have actually faced such decision before. I myself, I served as a professional engineer before I became a pastor. That was a long time ago. I would say 1980s. I served as a professional engineer in two provinces from 1980 to 1992 for 12 years. I've been a professional engineer in the province of Ontario and also in the province of New Brunswick. I thank God for those opportunities, allowing me to ponder upon my role as a Christian at a workplace. How can I better serve God? You know, we have daily toils. Is there any real significance beyond a paycheck? I think that's important for us to realize what we are doing today. So in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul addresses this very struggle. I have my struggle, you have yours. Offering timeless wisdom that transforms how we view our work today. So let's look at it today, what it means to serve with all our hearts and examining how our everyday tasks can be acts of worship and how God's eternal perspective which shapes our motivation and our actions. So I'm going to share with you three main points. And the first one is work heartily as for the Lord. It all comes from these two verses. And then understand our eternal reward. Thirdly, serve Christ through our work. So I hope that you pay attention to these three main points as we, you know, cover it one by one. Work heartily as for the Lord. The phrase, work at it with all your heart. You know, in Greek, it translates actually directly something like work from the soul. Your heart is where your thinking, where your decision being made sometimes. Well, you have head, you have heart, and you have hands, right? You bring them all together, coordinate them all together, so that work at it with all your heart. And this indicates a deep inner commitment and a passion in whatever task is at hand. So work heartily as for the Lord. So as working for the Lord, not for human masters, it quenches what? The ultimate authority for whom the work is done. Well, even though you're at a workplace, but do you know that you're actually serving our Lord Jesus Christ? The term kurios, it actually refers specifically to the Lord and underscoring that our primary allegiance is to Christ, not merely eternal, merely earthly supervisor. We have our eternal God, that's what we are serving, not just the earthly masters or what we call boss. So passion for Christ fuels excellence in work. I don't know, in your own capacity, your workplace, how do you see that? You feel going there, you know, I don't have energy to do my work. Let's say tomorrow is Monday. You're going back to work tomorrow. And then you feel, okay, do I have passion for my work? Your passion for Christ fuels excellence in work. This is what motivates you. But for some of us, we don't have that kind of passion. Let your labor be a testament to your faith. You got to do that. Let your labor. You work well. You did it excellently. Your job. If you want to do a good job at church, but I would remind you, first, do a good job at your workplace. As I was an engineer, I did my work well. And I served as an elder in the church. And then subsequently, I devoted myself to serve Christ. So I quit my job. I went into Tyndale. Before that time, it was called OTS, Ontario Theological Seminaries. I did my MDiv, and I started serving as a pastor. So before you want to serve well at the church, please do that well at your workplace. Look at the story of Eric Liddell. We all remember this wonderful Olympian, right? The Scottish athlete, the missionary whose life inspired by the film Chariots of Fire, right? Most of you may have, saw this film before. Liddell famously refused to run on Sundays because of his faith, prioritizing his devotion to God over the demands of the sport. So his training and races were not just athletic events, but he treated it as an act of worship. It's important when we are at workplace, we do our work well. It's also worshiping Christ through our work. That's why Liddell, he famously said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. When you are at work, do you have pleasure? Or you feel just mundane job, another one, right? Liddell's heart-driven commitment exemplifies working as for the Lord. So it's important for us to ponder upon this truth that whatever we do, we work with passion, but we serve with a purpose. Do you know why you're there? For the job? Well, not just for the money, right? You are there for the education because you studied so hard to get the job. But then you want to earn those experience at job, so that in the future, God can put you in another specific position so they can serve God well, even better, beyond your current job. Are you prepared to do that? Work with passion. Serve with a purpose. So we focus on your current work today. Are you approaching it with the same fervor and dedication you would if Jesus himself were your supervisor? If Jesus is your supervisor, what would you do? WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? This perspective shift can transform your mundane task into meaningful acts of worship. Let us do that. Let us look at our job as an act of worship. So start your day, let's say with a prayer, dedicating your work to God. Let this be a reminder that every email that you wrote, every meeting you attend, and every task at hand is actually an opportunity to serve him wholeheartedly, as described by the Apostle Paul. Wholeheartedly. What do we consider further? So you want to do your job well. Let's implement a SMART goals. Some of you may have heard about the SMART, S-M-A-R-T. Set specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and also time-bound goals for your task. Not just at your work. You learn that at your work, right? But you do that at church too. You know, once you're trained at work, you want to set SMART goals for the church as well. So, for example, instead of weekly planning, okay, do your best at work, why don't we create a goal like complete this project by the end of the week with high quality as if presenting it to the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? Well, we all want to do our best at work, but this is too vague. It's not specific enough. You want to do a job well? Specify it. Have a goal. Have a time bound. And do it well. So implementing SMART goal is what we ought to do. And for personal reflection, I give you 2 points here. How would you approach to work change if you truly believe that every task, no matter how small, was an opportunity to honor Christ? And secondly, in what areas of your work life have you been holding back? Have you been holding back? And how can you renew your commitment to working with all your heart as if serving the Lord? Think about it. It's for your personal reflection. Secondly, understand our eternal reward. Now the Bible is saying that since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it actually highlights the certainty of the promise. Jesus Christ promised us that. God in the Bible promises all those blessings if we rely on God on everyday tasks. The Greek word for inheritance evokes the idea, the concept of a lasting legacy. It will last forever, something far more enduring than earthly compensation. Well, we look at your earthly, you know, your salary, right? You earn your salary and then you make a living. You know, everybody does that. No questions. But then you understand you have an eternal reward beyond just your monthly paycheck. The phrase as a reward implies a recompense that is graciously given, not merely earned. When it's grace, it's given to you graciously. You do a job, you earn your living. You know, I've been taught that I'm just trading off my working hours with those dollar figures. You know, so selling your time to the company, that's all. Is there any eternal reward in that? So let's look at when we serve God. This reinforces the idea of God's grace in rewarding our faithful service. So let's understand that we have a reward eternally placed for us. So today, invest in what lasts forever. Your time, your energy, your thinkings, you know. We may have only like 70, 80 years. Well, today with this medical achievement, maybe we can get it to 100, right? It's okay. But make sure you have 100 years old. You do that well, you know. So invest in what lasts forever. What actually lasts forever. Think about it. Not just that, work with eternity in view. You're working here, you know, another Monday, you know, thank God it's Friday, and then we're going back home. Another week, another Sunday worship like today, this morning. The week goes on and on. Work with eternity in view, meaning that we have our eyesight, you know, for that eternity, that reward, that inheritance that Christ is going to bestow to us. Thank God for this promise. Look at the parables of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. You're all familiar with this, right? The servant, you know, God, the boss actually gave him 5,000. You know, he invested it and get another 5,000 back. Wow, good and faithful servant. Look at that 2,000, you know, you give him 2,000, you invested it, get back 2,000. Great, good and faithful servant. What about that 1,000? The guy was get 1,000 talents and then he put it buried underground, didn't do anything, and the boss returned. He just, you know, gave him back the 1,000. That's it, not even with interest. And then he was condemned by the boss. Look at this today. And you look at this, the master's money. You know, we have those in our hand right now. How can we better invest it? Your time, your energy is all from God. Well, one day he may take it back. Let us be reminded that this parable illustrates the principle that God rewards those who faithfully steward their responsibilities, not just with material blessings, but with eternal significance. We thank God for that kind of a promise. So we focus on the eternal. Our heart focus on the eternal. But then for our target, let's look at it. Every effort counts. Every effort counts. Whatever decision we made have eternal consequences. Every church decision we make from now on echoes down, you know, years. 5 years, 10 years, it all has its consequences. May God help us to make good decisions on an everyday basis. Let's reflect on the inheritance. The word inheritance, you are working towards. Are you investing in tasks that and relationship that have eternal value? Or are you focused solely on temporary gains? So we evaluate your career goals and daily actions through the lens of eternity. You look at it. The lens of eternity. Seek opportunities to serve others, those who are sitting next to you, those homeless, you know, hopeless people, so-called, you know, they don't have a goal what to do next. Hope we can serve them well. Share your faith and make decisions that are aligned with God's eternal perspective. This is what we need to do today. So setting long-term goals. We talk about SMART goals, and we also need to set long-term goals as well. Identify long-term career and life goals that are aligned with your faith. What are you going to do 10, 20 years from now on? Today is 2024. What about 2034? Where will you be in 2034? 10 years from now,
For instance, aim to grow in your role to influence others positively and contributing to God's kingdom through your professional achievements. When I was an engineer, I was praying, God, help me. I'm really satisfied with my engineering career. I have 12 good years there. I make good money too. I raise my family there. But I ask God, is it that's it? I continue to do my work well. I continue to make those money and then is this that's it? Do you have more for me to do? I pray. I ask God about this. Slowly, God revealed to me, you know. One day I was in Thailand for an engineering project. That was in 1989. I was in Thailand, the Lofton part. Canada built 14 power stations for Thailand. Thailand government actually borrowed money from Canadian government to do that. I was the engineer in charge of instrumentations and control. So I was there supervising the projects and training those local Thais how to operate the power plant. When I was doing that, I found, wow, satisfaction. Good job, well done. I was thinking, I was training those people to get a better living, to get electricity, right? You know, back then it was a big deal. And I was asking God myself too, what about if I serve in the church? I can save people's souls rather than giving them physical help, meaning electricity, you know. So God answered my prayer. He slowly led me a step at a time. It took me 12 years to convert myself, so-called to become a pastor. Of course, I got to go through those 2 years of theological training, and it's difficult too. But God is gracious enough, allowing me to do that. Thank God. I give you two more personal reflections on this point. What aspect of your current work have eternal significance? And how can you invest more intentionally in those areas? And how does the promise of an eternal inheritance influence your daily decisions and priorities at work? This is for you to reflect further. Are you satisfied with what you're doing today at work? You're going back tomorrow, right? Or some may have a summer vacation, I don't know. But we'll be going back to work. What do we do then? Number three, serve Christ through our work. Serve Christ through our work. Paul reminded us again, it's the Lord Christ. You are serving. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. So the verb, actually, you heard about the noun doulos, right? You heard about doulos all the time, slave. Douliot is the word doing something, performing the task like a slave. But it means to serve or to be in bondage too. Emphasizing a complete devotion and also a submission to Christ. If when you are a slave, you don't say no more. You don't have ideas of self. You just follow your masters. So you're submitted to Christ as our ultimate master. But many of us, we're still sitting on the driver's seat of our car. Well, you drive, right? But you're sitting on the driver's, you make decisions for yourself. But what about if you're serving Christ? You have to submit to the decision that Christ is giving us. Verse 24 explicitly shifts the focus from human authority to divine authority. God places his authority over you, reminding believers that our ultimate service
is to Christ himself. It is important for us to realize that we are here to serve Christ. Our everyday task, our life, is serving Christ. So serve Christ in your workplace, not just in the church. Yes, we know that this is Sunday, we're here, we serve. We have a sister, the team, worship team. We have the chair, you know, introducing. It's all good. We serve Christ together. But serve Christ in your workplace as well. This is what we need to do on a daily basis. And then transform your job into a ministry. Oh, can I do that? Yes, you can, of course. Your job is a ministry. Depending on how you look at it and how you plan your time and devotion onto it, you can transform your job into a ministry. When I was serving as an engineer, I have engineering fans, right? Other engineers. I remember I have a Vietnamese engineer, you know, who is more senior than me. I learned from him as well. But he is an atheist. You know, he escaped Vietnam, the war, you know, and then into Canada. And he's a good engineer. So I invited him to my house. We share a meal together. You know, my wife and I, we cook. And then he and his wife came. And we share our faith as well. We don't know what God has planted to seed, maybe in his heart. I haven't met him for almost 30 years now. I don't know where he is right now, but I remember I served Christ by witnessing to this engineer. And then there's another engineer, he's an Indian. So I invited him also to my place, to my house. And we have friendship at work, right? You know, actually I met those guys on a daily basis. But then I invited them to come to my house, share my faith with them. I don't know. He's a Hindu, maybe. I think he is. You know, he may not accept the Christian faith. But anyway, I witnessed to them. I shared with them about my hope in Christ. And they knew. They knew me from my performance at work. So I treat every work task as serving Christ. So you can transform your job into a ministry. Yes, you can. By God's help, by the Holy Spirit, because he's empowering you to do such kind of work. Look at this. Think of Brother Lawrence. He's a 17th century monk known for practicing, you know, the presence of God. There's a book, The Practice of the Presence of God, written by Brother Lawrence. In his book, he describes how he performed even the most menial tasks, such as washing dishes, as acts of devotion to God. Put it in today's, you know, you have a kitchen, you know, some sister, brothers, you know, washing dishes after the meal, you know. You are someone cleaning the carpet, same thing. Those jobs are actually our devotions to God. Brother Lawrence found great joy and fulfillment in serving Christ through every aspect of his daily work, no matter how insignificant it seemed. May God help us to realize that every task that we do, we are doing it for Christ. So there's no big or small task from God's sight. It is from your heart. That is what counted. May God help us serve Christ in all you do. Serve Christ in all you do. And make every task sacred. Every task is sacred because you have asked the Holy Spirit to empower you. You walk this path of the Holy Spirit. I did my witnessing to those engineers. But I'll let God, let other people collect the eternal rewards. Maybe it's another Christian's
10 years later, get a chance to witness to my Vietnamese friend or this Indian engineer friend. I don't know. Maybe they did that. Someone else did that. I was just part of the team helping them out to know God. Make every task sacred. Serve Christ in all that you do. Identify practical ways to serve Christ in your workplace. This might include showing kindness and patience to your colleagues, maintaining integrity in your work, or using your position to bless others. I remember when I served as an engineer, someone, you know, reported to me, he made a mistake. But I have to cover him up, you know, because to me, this is something, the least that I can do as a team leader. So I report back to my boss. I have a boss too, right, you know. So I do not mention this person's name. It's just that. It's a team. If we fall, the team fall together. If we make a mistake, we admit it. And we ask for forgiveness. And it turns out well. So I urge you to do that in your workplace. Witness for Christ. Do that. Use your position to bless others. And make a habit of dedicating each task to God. Whether you are drafting a report, attending a meeting, or helping a customer, do it with the intention of serving Christ through your actions. God can help you. God can empower you. Prepare to start your day with a prayer, asking God to be with you. So daily affirmation is important. Use affirmation to remind yourself daily that your work is for the Lord. Seek accountability partners. There's someone else, another Christians. You know, you may pray for one another. So join groups that encourage you to maintain this perspective in your professional life. In Ottawa, when I served as an engineer, my church and there's several other churches together, the Chinese churches, together some engineers like myself, that was long time ago, like 30, more than 30 years ago, and we have formed so-called professional fellowship in Ottawa. And this group of Christians, we are from different Chinese churches, but you know, Ottawa is a government town, right? You know, there are those doctors and those engineers everywhere, and there are government officials. So we come together, form a professional fellowship. Monthly, we have a gathering, trying to witness for Christ. And we hold this meaningful gathering together. We pray together. So we have accountability for one another. I remember when 1989, the Tiananmen Square, those incidents broke out. And this professional fellowship have invited the media to come, you know, take some picture, because we are there to witness for Christ. So we voice out for the support for the people, for the students in Tiananmen Square, 1989. That was a long time ago. Some of you may have remembered. I was there. I was the chairman there. I was put on the spot. And the reporter came, and I have to say some word, you know. I forgot what I've said before. But actually, I think I did a good job, at least presenting the group of professional engineers, professional Christians, you know, to the media, to people that we stand by in the biblical principle of praying for those people, students at Tiananmen Square. We even went to the embassy in Ottawa, the Chinese embassy, the China, what it's called, embassy there. So see accountability partners. They can help you out. Same thing in the church. You may have two or three Christians together praying for one another. And this is important for you to do that kind of work. So further reflection, what specific action can you take this week to serve Christ through your work? whether in how you treat others or how you perform your task. How might your workplace be transformed if you viewed each interaction and responsibility as a direct service to Christ? Pray for God's help. So to conclude today, let us be reminded again the mindset of Colossians chapter 3. What's in Paul's mindset? We are doing all that for Christ. Transform from a mundane obligation to a sacred calling. Being Christians, follower of Christ, is an important identity for us today. Remember Eric Little, who found God's pleasure in this warning, and Brother Lawrence, who experienced God's presence in washing dishes. Their lives remind us that our work, no matter how ordinary it may seem, has eternal significance when done for the Lord. Work heartily as for the Lord. Approach every task with the passion and dedication of serving Christ himself. This shift not only enhances the quality of our work, but also brings joy and fulfillment, knowing that we are pleasing our ultimate pastor. Understand our eternal reward. Keep the promise of an eternal inheritance at the forefront of your mind. And this motivates us to invest in actions and relationships that have lasting value, aligning our daily efforts with God's eternal purposes. Lastly, serve Christ through our work. Embrace the privilege of serving Christ in all you do. And let your workplace be a mission field. Remember, let your workplace be a mission field, where your actions and attitudes reflect the love and grace of Jesus. We thank God for the privilege of being called Christians. Let us all pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. When we come to your worship place, we know this is different from our workplace, but ultimately, they're the same. We are praying that tomorrow or the day after, when we return to our workplace, we are seeing the workplace as a worship place. And we will continue to witness for you 7 days a week. We ask your blessing to be with us, empower us. We know we are ordinary, but through the Holy Spirit, we can do extraordinary things, both locally and globally. Locally, we witness for you, and globally, we share the gospel to other people groups around the world. We pray for the New Covenant Alliance Church. We pray for the leadership. We pray for the transition. We know that we are in good hands, and we pray that you will continue to guide each of our thoughts and our decision following your call to fulfill the great commissions. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen.